Welcome back to Making Conversation. This is episode number 2, and my name is Justin Alm, and this is my co-host,
Sean Choi, the hip-hop legendary.
And today we are here with...
Frieza Barmeo.
Hello!
Hello!
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's great to have you on.
It's fun to be here. I'm just waiting for Sean to like drop some like really...
Oh, sorry. I was a little bit zoned out for a sec.
It's late and, you know, we're all doing our best to act like it's 2 p.m. and we're in the middle of a vibrant workday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Justin's even drinking a beer right now and that's drinking mocha.
Oh, that's true. Good. I need some beer right now.
Yeah, I am drinking Pilsner Urquell, one of my favorite beers. So.
Very sexy, very sexy.
I have a Pilsner here too. Maybe I should crack one open.
Do it.
Do it.
This show officially went 18A.
Yeah. Hashtag respect.
Oh my God.
Recap from last show, I guess.
Do you have thing to recap?
We have nothing to recap. I'm really let down on all of our listeners because nobody wrote us any feedback. But, you know,
it's fine.
I think it's one of those things that everyone wants to say something, but they just always, you know, they just get distracted right before they do something. But when they see you in person, they tell you.
True. Although I saw a couple of friends today after work, just walking home on the street, and they have not listened to the show yet.
Ah, shame on them.
So, but they knew about it, which means something's working. Just not the actual thing we're creating. So.
I guess, yeah.
It's not the actual point of the show.
It's fine, man.
So, no, I have no ill feelings towards anyone. I'm just happy to do this and get together with people and talk about stuff. So,
you just have them in your death note, like just a list.
Yeah, we're compiling our list. We have a Google Doc going. So, Kriza, where are you from?
Well, Vancouver is home now. Yeah, Vancouver's home now. I just tend to say I'm from all over the place when people ask me that question because, well, I was born and raised in like 3 different countries, and including Canada, that's 4. You know, like Canada's my home now. So I just don't know anymore. I mean, ethnically, I'm Filipino, my ethnic background. Nice. But I was born in Saudi Arabia, and I was raised, like, for 4 years in the Philippines and, like, 10, 11 years in the Emirates.
Wow.
So, and then I came here to Canada, and then, like, I've been here for 10 years. So it's like, I don't know anymore where I'm from.
Yeah, I don't even know anymore, Kriza.
Yeah, I don't even know. What's the point of life? What?
Hold up. Yeah. You guys don't know where you're from?
What? Ooh, Sean?
Sean, I guess, yeah.
Sean, I think I know where you live.
Yeah, but you don't know where I'm from.
Yeah, I know. I'm just joking.
Yeah, it's fine.
So you got a diverse background then.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I really liked it growing up. Growing up in different places, but it's good to settle down too.
So you're happy to be here in Vancouver?
Yeah, Vancouver's home now, but I still have the, I guess it's like, you know, growing up in an international background and, you know, multicultural and all that, I still always love traveling. Mm-hmm. So until now, I always, you know, I have to travel at least once a year, and I still plan to... Well, I guess everyone plans to travel and work, but who knows? Mm-hmm. It's too hard. Mm-hmm. Are you guys from Vancouver? Well, I know Sean's Sean's from North Korea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wasn't prepared to be asked questions.
Oh, fine.
And you're not allowed to ask any questions, Kriza, okay?
Right.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's how this works.
Obviously, I'm kidding too.
Are you born and raised? Justin, or
you know what? I was born here. So,
wow, you're one of those.
Yeah, good for you, man.
I have Vancouver somewhat in my blood, I guess. Mm. And yeah, I was born at what used to be Grace Hospital on
Well, it's not even existent anymore.
Yeah, it's not even there anymore. They changed the name. Now it's Women and Children's. And then I lived here until I was about 4 and a half, I think. And then we moved to Saskatoon, and that was where I spent the majority of my life until I was about 23 or 24.
And then you had your identity crisis, right?
Yeah, and then I had a complete meltdown.
And came back here to your roots.
I'm joking. Actually, it was something. But
or are you in denial?
I think at that time I thought it may have been a meltdown, but now I think I just look back on it and it was just regular old growing pains. So, and I needed to get out of Saskatoon, yeah. I think, even though I love Saskatoon and it's a great place to be from, or to have grown up, but I was ready to move on.
Mm, cool. Say hi to him, Saskatoon.
Yeah. Hi, Saskatoon.
Hello.
I'd like to say hi to, all the King's Horses, my old band. Anyways, enough of that. Sean, are you from Vancouver?
Actually from Seoul, Korea.
Oh.
Oh.
Interesting.
Truth revealed.
And then you're from South Korea?
To Vancouver when I was 13.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. Right. I know this whole story. Go.
Oh, yeah.
Do you want to tell your story?
No, I don't want to cry. It's a sad story. I don't hear it, Sean. Just kidding.
Go. Oh, are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Are you trying to dodge the truth right now, Sean? Are you trying to not tell your story?
Oh, well, I've been to jail several times.
Oh, man.
I have like 5 children and I'm just around this time I go usually like really crazy after a long day, you know.
That's good.
Oh, yeah.
That means we're recording at the right time.
Right. We're on the right track, I guess.
So you're not going to tell your story.
Oh, are we still on that topic?
It's okay.
Okay, fine. I'll tell you. Okay, I've been an international student for 10 years. And then after I graduated my university, which is Emily Carr, I became a permanent residency.
Ooh.
Oh, and 2 weeks ago, I just applied my citizenship application.
Holy shit.
I know. Really? Fuck.
I'm going to report you so you get deported. Just kidding.
I know. I should never do anything wrong.
We will have seriously long distance Skype calls to keep doing this show.
Yeah. I know it's kind of hard from North Korea and Vancouver doing podcasts together.
North Korea.
I have to crack a lot of firewalls, right?
Yeah. I thought you said you were from South Korea.
Oh, my grandparents are from North Korea.
No.
Are you serious?
Way.
Yeah, and then they migrated to southern part of Korea when there was a Korean War.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
Sean, are you telling me the truth? Right
I don't know
now?
If you're lying or not.
Oh, it's pretty common down there, eh?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Were they from Pyongyang?
No, somewhere else, I heard. Yeah, somewhere random.
It's funny because I don't know any other cities in North Korea, but I know several in South Korea, so.
I guess because your wife is South Korean, right?
Oh,
yeah.
She is? You spent some time in the UAE, you said, right?
Mm-hmm. I grew up there.
How many years were you there?
10, 11, 12. I don't know anymore.
Was that a positive experience?
Yeah, I loved growing up there. I don't know. I mean, like, the media is pretty intense in their depiction of the Arab world, but I really enjoy growing up there. Because mainly I lived in an expat town. Okay. And it's a lot of people from all over the world who have settled there because their dads work there. just like my dad. So like I had friends from like Scandinavia and from like the States, from all over Asia and Africa. So it was great.
Any North Korean friends?
No. Not until later in my life that I've met.
I guess I'm your new North Korean friend.
No, actually, it's Padu.
Oh, sorry. I didn't hear. Who is your North Korean friend?
Oh, it's my boyfriend. Like,
yeah, we call him Padu.
He has a background. I think his grandparents or something. Like Sean. So he's my first North Korean friend.
Sean's fine.
Second North Korean friend.
Fine. Be that way.
Yeah.
Man, for a country that's supposed to have no competition, it's getting pretty competitive
yeah.
right now.
Oh, yeah.
Were you in Dubai?
No, I wasn't. Actually, it's funny. When I used to live there, Dubai was not even fully built. When I lived there, Dubai was, well, the country was 40 years old, and it was basically a desert for 20 years, and they just started building because of, you know, they found oil. And in 20 years, they built cities, like full-blown cities. And I lived in a town that is technically part of the capital, Abu Dhabi, but it's far away from it. So we don't really go to Dubai often, but it wasn't as crazy as it is now. Mm-hmm. There's probably two really big buildings. The Burj Al Arab and the other one, the one across from it, but that was pretty much...
Oh, the Starbucks?
Yeah. There was actually, I remember the first time they had Starbucks in Abu Dhabi. Like, they didn't have
was it like
before.
A grand opening?
Yeah, well, there wasn't any. Well, they had this mall and then they had Starbucks and everyone's freaking out because, you know, like finally they're allowing American companies to come in and all that stuff. It's like what's happening in Vancouver here with, you know, the big American takeover with the companies. Mm-hmm. It just came flooding in all in one year. So
people lining up for 5 hours to get like Frappuccino?
Yeah. No.
Man, it's hot, right? You got to get that Frappuccino.
At that time, there was no coffee culture. It was just warming. So people were just kind of, oh, what's this? Let's try it out. It wasn't like, oh, it's Starbucks. Okay. Let's line up for this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Park Place roast wasn't really part of psychology yet. So, did I say Park Place or Pike Place? I don't know.
You said Park Place.
Okay. Cool. Did you see Tom Cruise while you were there?
No. Was that for Mission Impossible 3?
Yeah, that's right.
It's like pretty recent. I left that place 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think we need some sort of like failed joke sound. Were you an active artist and or designer when you were in the UAE? Or did that start here when you moved to Vancouver, or what time of your life do you remember that kind of part of you?
Oh, the artist call. I never thought of becoming an artist when I was younger. I guess the school system in Asia is different in a sense. It's more towards science and math, you know, those fields, and they don't really cultivate the arts too much. It's more of like a hobby or like a secondary.
Right. Just like any subject. Other Asian countries.
Yeah. And so our curriculum was very heavily based on math and sciences. And I never thought about working as an artist or a designer. It never occurred to me. And then when I moved to Canada, I attended high school here and they had photography and painting classes. And I thought, oh, cool. I should, you know, take some of that class. Then prior to that, before I left the UAE, I started getting into like animes.
Oh, yeah. Those hentai films?
Ew, no. Okay, sorry, Sean. Krisa. I don't know what you've been watching, but girl.
you know what I've been
super
watching.
Super dork, like dorkster. year, like the year before I left, and it was awesome. And I didn't get into like art, but I started to be, you know, more familiarized with, oh, there's certain, you know, it's not just like Renaissance paintings, there are other things out there. So when I came to Canada, I was able to take classes that are advanced compared to the classes that I used to have, which was basically like doodling, art. Yeah, and then I after that, I guess, never looked back. I thought I wanted to work in art, whatever creative field.
Did you ever dress up as an anime character?
Yeah, I was going to ask.
Cosplay? Oh, yeah. My gosh. No, but I have plans.
I've seen all those photos of you wearing like Pikachu costume.
Actually, you know what? This is so embarrassing. I'm wearing, you know those onesie pajamas?
Oh, yeah.
Right now, the Totoro.
Oh, good one.
It's like the Hayao Miyazaki, you know, the fat.
Right,
the
right.
Big monster, like... Yeah.
Did you know that Totoro is always being naked?
Oh.
Sorry.
Thank you for killing my perception of this lovable character, but cool.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you're doing now, I guess. Do you work in design or as an artist full time?
I work in publication, and my prior role is in sales and marketing, and what I do on the side as well is, because I work in advertising, I do like some design for advertising, and I work for a small magazine, so I do photography work for that as well. That's my day work, like my daytime work. And my background has always been advertising. I worked previously as well as a coordinator and art director in advertising.
I know your background is in communication design, just like me. And ever since you acquired the license to kill, how many people did you kill so far?
So far, I just have you in my list. Oh. Once I cross that off.
Okay, Justin, you can't just chop that part out.
Oh my God.
You're not speaking from beyond the grave right now, are you?
Oh, it's like the scene from Sixth Sense, right?
Oh my goodness.
I see Asian people.
Oh, okay, that is getting chopped.
I know. Okay, let's get back to it.
Yeah, like a level which makes it and what gets into the red zone, and I don't know.
Oh yeah, right.
That's funny.
It's funny to me because like swear words don't get, like they don't offend me.
Yeah.
It's just the ethnic situation.
Ethnic and too sexual.
Yeah. Anyhow, Krisa.
Yes, what?
Okay, so your background is both in like design and art and photography, right? So do you feel like you're on like a designer or an artist?
Oh my gosh, it's like one of those questions.
Yeah, one of those cliche questions.
My background technically is in design. My bachelor is in design. So I guess that's what my background is. But I mean, I feel that design encompasses everything. You know, it's not solely just, okay, put this in a layout.
Yeah.
You have to work with visuals, with images. You have to work with typography. You have to work with, you know, sometimes illustration. So you deal with all these things. And I think that's a big part of being a designer, is to be able to fluidly, you know,
accommodate everything. Right?
Yeah.
So you just feel like something else altogether?
Well, it's tricky because what I'm interested in first and foremost is collaboration. And that already is like almost like a crossroad. It's a process. It's not like a result or a certain field.
Yeah, diverse.
Yeah, it's too diverse sometimes, but it's what I want to do. I think it's just knowing how to funnel an aesthetic into, you know, different successful pieces. And yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out right now.
That's actually a nice segue I think, into Trim projects.
Right.
I'm assuming that Trim was part of this inspiration to do that type of work.
Trim is my alter ego, almost. when I was working, when I graduated from Emily Carr, I worked for a newspaper company in Alberta.
The Hustler, right?
The Hustler. I started from the very, very bottom, like, honestly, just typing classified ads. That's how bad it was. Like, it was hardcore. And so I was lucky enough to, like, get the position eventually after a couple of years or a year of the art director position. And I was so, like, so happy because I've always wanted that position and I've always wanted to be an art director. But then you come to a point, I guess with every job, you plateau and you want to do something else and you want to move on. And I was at a point when I literally asked myself, what do you want to do really? So I came back to Vancouver with the idea of, you know, I've always wanted to create my own publication and I've always been interested in collaboration in different creative fields. So I told myself I'd give myself like a year or a year and a half to work on my own projects. Mm-hmm. And that's how Trim eventually became what it is.
Okay. How did you come up with the name Trim Projects?
Trim, the idea was like, when I was really frustrated with the concept, I was talking to, you know, a few close friends about it. And I was just really explaining to them what I want to do. And I told them, like, I just wanted to trim away all, you know, like, literally, like, trim, like, just focus on what I wanted to do. And just on other unnecessary things I don't really want to be bothered with. So it's that idea of trimming away of financial constraints or, you know, creative constraints and just doing what you want to do. And that I just chose that word from that.
Okay. One question.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Moving on.
I can see your face now in my mind.
I like it. No, I like it. I can feel it. So
yes. Yeah. One question though, like, is it only you who runs Stream or do you have like other staff members?
In the beginning I had a writer and I had like a few people helping me with the web. Because you know how awesome I am with tech stuff, but but after the, because I told myself I'm going to do six projects with Trim, and after that ended and we had the exhibition and I had really great volunteers and friends who helped me put that together, I just, you know, I now run on like just putting posts up bi-weekly, so I didn't have a platform to have a writer, you know, to have a need for a writer.
Right.
So I don't have a writer anymore. And the web is built as it is. Shout out Studio Faculty.
Oh.
Yay.
They built my website. Yeah.
Cool. So, yeah. So just for everybody listening out there, you can go back to episode one.
And listen to how awkward Alvin laughs. Hi, Alvin. Hi, Vince. Yeah. Those guys are so nice. Like, those guys are really nice.
Oh, yeah.
And they're really talented. And, yeah, they're really good.
Yeah, they're all right.
They're all right, yeah.
20%, yeah.
Apparently, I'm their biggest fan, so.
Oh, yeah, I remember hearing that. You have to treat them out because you're their biggest fan.
Yeah, now I need to kind of, like, talk them down a bit. So that I don't look like a big brown noser, you know. Or,
neutralize.
Yeah, you know, they're all right.
Yeah, they're fine.
Yeah. Who do you consider your audience, then, for Trim Magazine?
Other than us two.
Because you guys check it every day.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's creatives. Like, a lot of it would be emerging creatives. I mean, I'm really bad at this, but I don't really promote or market Trim a lot. I see it as a personal project. Maybe in the future I will. But so since it first began, it's always been word of mouth, how people have heard about it, friends of friends, and or people who may have stumbled upon it from other blogs. So my initial demographic would be, you know, the Vancouver emerging creatives. And strangely enough, like maybe a few people from like, you know, Australia and Europe who have just, you know, found the website online.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
Have you seen that like kind of cropping up in your Google Analytics or whatever?
Yeah, it's weird. I feel like, whoa, how did they find this kind of feeling? But I mean, it feels good to have, you know, you put content out there because, I mean, I remember talking to someone, Stacy or Tracy from Project Space, and she was the director of Project Space. And I remember her talking about why she started a publication, and because, like, I mean, no one pays you to do it. It's just, you want the content out there and nobody's putting it out there. And even though despite there's no pay, there's no, you know, like reward or anything, because you want to see that, you know, you put the work in to get it out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like men versus technology, I guess.
Oh yeah. Expand on that thought, Sean. Please.
let's just pass.
Oh gosh.
What category would you play Stream under? Fishing or golf?
I do not like both. So oh,
lifestyle.
The idea was to explore different creative fields.
Mm-hmm.
There's not one specific field. I guess creativity would be the field that I would put it under.
Do you feel like there's a strong concept behind the design of the site or the magazine? I guess you have print versions too, right? I think, or is it mostly like aesthetically driven and like formally treated?
Trim.
That's like so heavy. I'm sorry. Like,
how do I?
I almost
I'll write
threw
an
up.
Essay and get back to you.
I said that and I just felt like a little gross.
I kind of threw up in my mouth a little bit.
Yeah. It began with a concept, and I pushed through with that concept. And, you know, growing pains, like you mentioned earlier, it's like, you know, it's growing up a little bit. It's almost 2 years old or 2 years old. And when it first began, it was, it took the form of a online publication. And it was really all over the place because, not just because of the projects, like not just because of the fact that they're from different creative fields, but it's just the whole branding around it was not very cemented. And then as it was growing older, and I guess like my idea around Trim started becoming more solid, and I started to learn that, oh, this works and this doesn't work, I approached studio faculty, and I think the birth of like its actual maturity really happened after the six projects were done. And then we designed a print publication to kind of, you know, put all the six projects together. And we had an exhibition, and then we launched the website as well. So all of that happened at the end of what I think is the first phase of Trim. And yes. Now what you see is kind of like the step after that, and that the fact that, okay, we did all this projects, we know how it it is now.
Hollow and empty.
Hollow and empty.
No, I'm just kidding.
Neutral and useless.
So how do you approach people that you feature on the website, or how did you approach those first six people you had like as part of the exhibition and that print issue?
I just stalked them and I just like videotaped their every move. No, I don't do that. I do not.
Oh. Private detectives.
Yeah. Did not be scared of me. I started with almost trying to figure out which fields I wanted to work in and what I wanted to explore. Because each of the projects is almost like a crash course for me in one particular discipline that I'm interested in. So I thought, oh, I really like visual arts, photography, you know, illustration and all that stuff. So I luckily I have a network of people, because I went to art school, you know, if someone or somebody knows someone who does really good typography or really good paintings. So I just approached them because I knew them. Just like guilt trip them. Yeah, nice maybe work. For some. Yeah.
How do you like come up with the ideas for these collaborations? Is it just like you approach them and then it's like, hey, whatever you want to do? Or is there...
I've always started with the question that what is it that you've always wanted to do? And I'm sure everyone had, you know, an idea or a project that they've always been waiting to do. Or several. And so we just started with that one question. Everyone gets really excited. And then we just kind of like brainstorm and pour out all our concepts based on ideation. And you know, the steps, the design steps follow afterwards. After creating the, you know, a solid concept, then production and all that stuff. And yeah.
Cool.
With the second phase, though, it's like more of like a... I think like a bi-weekly or like per 3 weeks, I update something. It's very brief and short. It's not like the previous projects that take months. This time it's like, oh, let's get together really quickly. And it's almost like I do a styled shoot around their objects or their products or what they do. And we collaborate in the concept of how to portray, you know, like... for a fashion blogger or for a ceramics designer.
Yeah, what I really like about Trim is that you can actually see many kinds of art in there, like a fashion, food, and design, illustration, and all that stuff. So, and I'm really looking forward to see Diane's blog, the ceramic part.
Yeah, oh, I really I kind of just want to not return her ceramics. They're really cool.
Sorry, Diane who?
Diane Espiritu. She lent me her ceramics. The ones that she lent me were ceramics, koi, and geometric shapes.
Oh, is that the one that you post on Craigslist the other day?
Yeah. What? Girl, don't even.
So is there any like particular type of artists would you like to collaborate in the future?
It's still the same thing. I still kind of approach people that I know. It's really amazing how much, you know, our friends from Emily Carr that we graduated with are doing, like, even not their day jobs, but, you know, their hobbies and their extra projects and that kind of stuff. Almost everyone has something going on. It's really cool, and I just wanted to document that.
I think that's a little bit like what we're doing here.
Yeah, but yours is more of like a podcast.
It's exactly that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yours is more like magazine.
Thank you for putting that out there, clarifying that. Yeah. You know what? I think Vancouver is the art scene is sort of coming to life.
It does seem a little bit like quiet for what it really is. I think that in time, as more things like Trim crop up and other publications and podcasts and blogs and everything, you know, then people will talk about it more. So because there will be more access. And right now, I feel like everybody's hidden away in their studios, busy working. And then the art and design just gets exported somewhere else or
to Facebook.
You know, like exported to like Instagram. What would be the most memorable collaboration and that you've had through Trim and why?
What I would remember right now, I guess, is Michele Orbe. Michele, I met him when he was a student and I was a student, and we would always get together and have these crazy ideas, and then we would try to push our skill set to the very, very limit to kind of reach this concept that we wanted, you know, we want to make real. He moved to Toronto. And so I guess it's memorable in the sense that he, up to the very last week when he moved, was working with me on a Trim project. And it was, it's the vest one, the white leather vest. We had so many issues with it until the the photo shoot day. And we were, I don't know, we were, just problem after problem. That's why I guess it's...
Remember you guys were suing each other and it was like, it was a mess, right?
And also the one with Robin Oshiro. Because that one was the 5 months. It was really long. And also Robin's working style is very different from mine. I really disrupted him, I think. I really shook up his
brain. He's like process-driven guy, isn't he?
He's very...
very delicate.
Well, I'm more organic and I'm like fluid and you know, like moody in with the flow. And he's more like... rigid, not in a bad way, but he's like, you know, like very process, like you said, like stages and, you know, so it was really, really interesting to have to work with him.
So how was it working with studio faculty on the website?
It was very straightforward. They have a system already in place. So once you go in and the first day you go in and you talk to them and you kind of clarify everything that you want and need, they update you with the steps of, you know, what they're going to do and how, when they would need feedback. So it's it was very, like, it was easy for me. They were probably having a hard time dealing with me.
Nice.
More than anything.
So how many times did you punch Alvin in the face?
Maybe five.
Five? Only five?
Yeah, I think I saw a few black eyes.
Yeah, it was crying and like calling me all night.
What do you think about online publishing now that you have an online publication?
Well, Trim right now is more of, I don't know, I mean, what... I'm not an expert to say that it is really an online publication. I think technically it's not. It's more of like just a website and it's project focused. But online publications in general, I really like it because it's accessible. And but at the same time, I'm a print girl, you know, like print will always be... something
print
that I'm
forever.
More, I'm more drawn to print than I am.
I feel so sorry for you guys.
Whatever. It's not dying. It's not a dying industry.
I don't know. I work for a design agency. I think print is like slowly fading away.
Thanks. I feel great.
You're welcome.
The number of people on staff have gotten smaller and smaller every year. I'm just joking.
Oh, yeah.
I also worked for a newspaper before. And during that time when I was working there, we had so many layoffs. And all over Canada, at that time, there was a trend of publications just wrapping up and closing shop. And when I moved back to Vancouver... the first thing I wanted to do was go to bookstores. And the first 2 months when I moved back, about three big bookstores closed.
Oh, man.
So it was heartbreaking, but...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess everything is kind of moving towards the digital, right? Like, I see that, like, but, for instance, like a music store that I used to go all the time, or like all closed like last year. So, yeah, I guess.
I mean, like, you even see that with like Blockbuster or any video store. Like, they just they made the half step by going to DVD, but really they should have had the foresight
to,
like Napster and torrenting was kicking up, to just like abandon it sooner and and recreate like
Netflix,
the industry with a new model, right? So I don't know.
Man.
So I have to figure out a sustainable way to keep Trim going if I want to do more quality projects in a bigger scale. But financially, to me, I still have no answers. So,
well, I guess only answer would be selling drugs, right?
Yeah, that's one option.
Yeah,
I can certainly do that. It's on like the side.
100% guaranteed, right?
After work, selling on the side, updating.
We'll meet on Granville Street.
Citizenship exam.
Oops. I know. Shut up, Justin.
He's trying to save your butt.
Our international podcast.
Oh, yes. From North Korea to Vancouver.
I feel like I have a bit of an inside scoop on a shoot you've been working on recently.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that, or is it top secret?
It's not top secret. I don't know if Hans wants to talk about it.
It's just a classified information. It's just
very classified.
Just so you know, I talked to Hans, and she said it was cool.
Oh, cool.
To talk about it.
That's good.
She said whatever.
I recently am working on a collaborative shoot with Hans, who is the owner of Wood to See You, a boutique based in Yale Town, Vancouver.
Yay! And
what up?
What up? Good to see you.
Okay.
So I feel like I just pulled a huge fish out of the ocean.
So we're working on that, and I'm directing the shoot, but the photographer is Agnes Laurel, who is a friend of mine. And also, we're working as a team of Trim, so me and Agnes and Hans and a stylist friend of hers, Bianca. So what we want to do, because Hans is thinking of launching, going to a different location, and Agnes and I initially came together and we wanted to do a photo shoot. We had a concept for it and we felt it was really strong, and we wanted to use clothing to portray that concept because Agnes is a fashion photographer. We were looking through Wood to See You website that day and we're like, oh, why don't we just approach Hans and see if she's willing to, you know, lend her clothes to us for this shoot. And coincidentally, she was looking to promote her products. So we came together and we thought, oh, maybe we could do a lookbook for you. And from there, it just kind of went off. And now we're in that, we've done the shoot and we're in the post-production stage. And yeah, it's really fun.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was really nice of her to lend us the clothes. But we've always wanted to work with great clothes. And I felt like with Wood to See You, there was already an aesthetic in place. It was it just needed to be translated into a lookbook or into a set of images. So that's what, it was just really perfect timing that everything came together.
Cool.
Sounds very sexy.
And are you looking to do more work like this in the future?
Yeah, I'm really interested in fashion. My top three interests would be design, photography, and fashion. And definitely this is around the field that I want to work in.
Okay, Krisa. Oh, well, since you're interest in fashion. What do you think of Lululemon?
My sister gave me this this pair of Lululemon pants, and they are the perfect fit. Like,
anyway, I have a pair, and it's great.
It's I don't know.
Sean has this pair of Lululemon pants.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes.
Every time I see him wearing them, I'm just like, damn.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've always shied away from all the yoga thing because I thought it was, oh, it's so West Coast and stereotypical. But then recently, you know, I gave up and started working out, and yeah, it's awesome. Why? Do you like Lululemon?
No, is that why you start taking those steroids products?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The protein shakes and the steroids.
Like, last time I saw you 2 weeks ago, you were like so buffed up. Like thicker neck, thicker arms.
Don't tell Padu.
How often do you go to church?
Is that a legit question?
Why not?
Because I do. I go to church every Sunday if I can.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have this tiny church that I go to. It's really cute.
Huh. What about?
Interesting.
It's a church that my family have gone to since we moved to Canada. It's Rupert and Third, and it's super tiny. Maybe like about 25 to 30 people go at the most. And yeah, I think for me to like trim what I do creatively is very intertwined in who I am with my faith and spirituality. So I guess that I don't talk about it, and I'm not good at evangelizing or whatever, sharing my faith, because I always believe that people have the right to believe whatever they want, and I don't really want to enforce my belief on anyone. So I don't talk about it often, but it is a big part of what I do and who I am.
Mm-hmm. In 5 years, do you have a plan to open up your own church anytime, you know?
I don't even know why they accept me in church. They're like, girl, you're not. Don't.
You know, I'm not sure if this is like Korean thing. My friend who's like very religious person, and every Sunday she kind of feels lazy to go to church. So she goes on to live YouTube stream of her church.
Oh, really? Whoa.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if this is a Korean thing or it's an international thing.
Can't do that with print.
Yeah. No shit.
Next week it will be there.
Be a very slow experience. getting the church service via print.
Oh man. All you need is love.
I don't, well, you know what? When I lived downtown, I used to go because it was really far from that tiny church that I go to.
Right.
I would go to this artisan church. It's basically a church, and a lot of people who go there are very creative. They're all, you know, part of the creative field.
With organic food?
Yes, organic. Yeah. Yeah. Organic food.
Yeah.
And they have podcasts of their, like they, really? They would record their sermon and then they would have it on their website, which I think is really useful because the days when I'm too lazy, I kind of just, you know, turn it on when I'm cleaning or when I'm like, yeah, at home if I want to, and you can always listen to it. So yeah, that's podcasts cool. Work, guys. Podcasts work.
I guess Justin, like those guys are our like biggest competitors now.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, every Sunday.
Every Sunday.
Maybe we should publish our shows.
Like Sunday morning.
At the exact same time they publish their shows.
Oh, yeah.
Sunday
morning. Bold-faced competition. Yeah. How much of your spiritual life do you think should be like represented in your creative work? And do you think those two parts of life are separate, or is it completely like a holistic West Coast granola thing?
I think it's pretty much completely represented. Trim was, when I thought of doing trim, it was a point in my life when I was I don't know how to explain it. See, this is why I don't share my faith, because I don't know how to explain it to other people.
I actually find that nice to hear. It's just so different to hear, you know, like, this is why I don't share my faith.
Yeah. But I mean, it's not something that's tangible, you know, like, crap, how do I explain this? Like, there are times, you know, ups and downs, like when you have a relationship with someone, for example, like mm-hmm. there are times when you want to murder that person and times when
Are you talking about your boyfriend?
No! Love that guy. No, but, you know, and even just your friends, you know, like any relationship, there are ups and downs. And I think with faith, it's like that. And I feel mm-hmm. that when I suffer in that relationship, I suffer in all levels of my life. Because, you know, mm-hmm. like, even when you're physically down, you're like spiritually down, you just don't have the mood for anything. So everything right. affects everything. And that is definitely a core of myself and, you know, my creative work. So if that suffers, I suffer, like Trim suffers. So, and at the beginning of the year, I was really unstable. I feel like I was not very, I don't know. But
is it because you're a hard drug usage?
Yeah, my drug usage started catch up with me. And I wasn't getting my fix on time.
Emotional up and down.
Yeah. I was menopausing and everything. Yeah, so that definitely, I wasn't even working on Trim a lot. So that's how it affected it. Mm-hmm, and the same mm-hmm. thing. I mean, if I had an accident or broke my arm or something, I wouldn't be, you know, like every aspect of my life would be affected. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, everything's connected. What do you guys plan? What's your long time plan for this? Are you thinking of doing this? Because you've done one, the first one, Studio Faculty.
Yeah, that was an accident.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. And then now this is the second one, I guess, second accident. But are you planning to do this on a monthly basis, bi-weekly? And are you planning to continue this as far as you can go? Or
I would like to do several episodes a day.
Really? Wow.
I was like, wow. What the fuck?
That's impossible.
Yeah. Oh, it's not impossible. It's possible for Tom Cruise.
Yeah. Yeah, Tom Cruise could do it.
Yeah, he can put
it. And he could probably do it while hanging off the side of the Burj Dubai.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But honestly speaking, I would say bi-weekly. Mm-hmm. We're looking to ship a show, as they say. Mm. I don't actually know if they say that. As of right now, it's so young, like it just started, that there's no point in talking about the end. So how can people contact you?
They can go to the Trim website, trim-projects.com, and my email address is there. Just don't spam me.
And do you have Twitter or
no,
Facebook?
No, I don't. I have, it's on Facebook. Oh. Just look for Trim Projects. Trim Projects, and it should be there, and on Instagram as well.
Nice. Awesome. I think that about is a show.
Here.
Yay.
So as we said last week, you can contact us via the makingconversation.ca website, and please follow us on Twitter. We have like not very many followers on Twitter.
Please, we only have 3 followers. Me, and Justin, and his wife.
Yeah. I think our good friends from On Second Thought.
Oh, yes.
So, but yeah, our Twitter handle is @making_convo. And if you want to send us feedback, you can email us at feedback@makingconversation.ca. And if any part of our discussion has stimulated some bad ideas for you, you can email us at bad@makingconversation.ca. And woohoo! Yeah, we'd love to hear from you guys and feedback if we've said anything that you think is awesome or horribly, horribly bad.
Yeah, I cut out those.
But yeah, thanks, Cruza.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Thanks for having me, guys.